T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Great former Browns running back, the Redskins, and he played for one of the team, which we won't talk about right now. Ernest Biner is with us. Ernest, how you doing, man? Thanks for joining us.
I tell you what, boy, y'all keep talking about that Dodge Ram. I like it. I like it, baby. I'm good. How are y'all?
Fantastic, man.
I'm trying to get an endorsement by Ram, man. I mean, I love their trucks, you know what I'm saying? I can drive one for them, you know what I'm saying? Call in and do this again, you know? So, hey, it's a blessing to be on with y'all, man. I appreciate the opportunity.
That's some good self-promotion. Call him up, for crying out loud. Call Ernest up.
that was it right there.
Yeah, that's right. Ernest, you spent 30 years in the National Football League being a player and then a coach. Does it feel like you spent 30 years in the NFL?
For sure. Most definitely. But the love for the game has not waned at all. The love for the Browns and the Browns fans and the connection that will forever be there is definitely appreciated, and that never wears old.
Ernest, as you were coming on, Adam and I were talking about just Cleveland and Denver, and obviously the history between those two cities. Does that mean anything different for you? Is that a little bit more special to you when you hear Browns and Broncos?
I tell you the truth, I wanted to wax that today just as much as I wanted to wax that back in the day, man. So,
wow.
So yeah, it is something definitely meaningful there because of the history, because of the championship games that we played in.
Yeah.
One I was heavily involved with, the other two I wasn't, because with the drive, I was just coming back from an ankle injury, so I only played a few plays. But the fumble game, magnificent rivalry, great battle. We wanted to try to get them, we wasn't able to do it then. I think in 88 or 89, I believe, they went back and played them again. So
yep.
I definitely want to see our boys, you know, Baker, Garrett, Nick Chubb, Njoku. I want to see these guys stand up and see the rivalry that this is and how important it is for the Cleveland fan base. For them to go out there and wax that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Ernest, because I think fans that are younger Browns fans that are maybe, you know, 35 and younger, the Broncos don't mean as much to those fans, but the fans that are in their 40s and certainly older than that, the Broncos are a team you hate as much as, maybe not as much as the Steelers or Ravens, but probably not far off, right?
No question.
Yeah.
no question. That connection, I think will always be there.
Yeah.
And the young Browns fans, if they're like the traditional Browns fans, they will get to know their history. They will know their history, and then they will understand what this means to former Browns, older Browns fans, young fans. Go to YouTube and watch some of these games.
Right.
Pull them up, watch them, and I think you'll gain a different appreciation for what it means to. As a matter of fact, even the young players that are playing now, they might not. They don't remember it back in the day.
That's right.
Look at your history. I guarantee you, if you look at your history, there might be some motivation in there for you. It might be something you might watch and you might learn from. As far as the game in general, go back, look at it. I guarantee you gain an appreciation and maybe even some motivation, you know, to play this game on a different level.
We're talking with Ernest Biner, longtime NFL back. Obviously, spent a lot of his career with the Browns. Two different times with the Browns. And, you know, Ernest, you talk about still having an affinity for the Browns and the fans. And, you know, as someone who didn't grow up here, and now that I've been here 7.5 years and learned, you know, over the years what it meant, what, you know, the team being stolen from Cleveland meant, it's fascinating to me because when we see teams leave cities now, whether it's the Raiders, the Rams went out to L.A., the Chargers, nowadays you don't see the players react emotionally. But I remember watching when the documentary came out a few years ago about the 95 season, and it seemed like you guys were all so emotionally attached to the city, to the fans, to the team, that it seemed to hurt the players so much when the team was stolen from Cleveland, unlike when it happens now. Is that true, you think?
You know what? I think Philip Rivers was one of the guys that kind of spoke about, you know, leaving San Diego.
Sure.
And it was different for him because he was there a longer period of time than some of the younger guys. I think because of free agency, because guys change teams so much, they don't develop that rootedness in the city like we did back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, because we were there. You know, my kids started school in Cleveland, in the Cleveland area. I'm North Olmsted, Westlake. We were out there. We went. I mean, we hung out. We stayed there during the off season.
Right.
So now the feel is different. But I guarantee you, if guys, I mean, this is one of the toughest things about the game. Learn your history. Appreciate your history. Know whose shoulders that you're standing on, and know what type of fan base that you have there, especially in the Cleveland area.
Ernest, kind of along those lines, do you remember when you were traded to Washington? Can you just walk us through what that was like for you, finding out and the emotions of it? Because your ties here were so strong, and do you think that everything that happened with the fumble, was that part of the reason why you think they had to move you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was the fumble. It was the next year. My emotions got the best of me when we were playing the Houston Oilers, and I think that really was kind of the last straw. I believe in part, I told my agent this, and I've said this before. I needed the trade as much as the trade needed me, because I was starting to rot inside some, and the game was not as fun because of how I took the fumble, because of how I didn't deal with the fumble the right way. So, and also, I mean, you go around and somebody yells out fumble at you, somebody, you know, brings it up, somebody, you know, keeps it, and I started to become self-conscious. It changed me. The fumble changed me. So I needed to get away. So it needed to happen. It happened at the right time. It turned out to be a blessing for me. And I think it turned out to be a blessing for the fan base, too, because I think they kind of understood after I left what type of player was leaving. And then when I came back, that love, I think, was even enhanced when I came back, played on a playoff team with Bill Belichick, and then the next year was the move. But then to play in the last game versus Cincinnati, to have over 100 yards, to go, you know, to be able to touch some of the fans after that game, was something I think that really kind of encapsulated. I mean, if somebody was writing that story, it couldn't have been written as far as me coming back and being involved in us winning that game as much as we did, as far as the last game in Cleveland Municipal Stadium.
How long did it take you to heal from that? When did you heal? You say it was riding you from the inside and you didn't handle it properly. I'm just curious.
Absolutely.
How did you handle it wrong, and how long did it take you to heal?
First of all, let me tell you, the first thing I did not do was I did not go back and look at the game.
Huh.
Typically, we always go back and we review games. I never did go back and look at that game until I actually finished my coaching career, which was 17 years after after my last game in Baltimore. So when we did Believe Land, And that's probably, that was when Cavs won the championship. So that's been 2 years ago, a little bit over 2 years ago right now. Don't seem like it, does it? I mean, time flies. But when I did Believe Land, and I was able to apologize to the fans, look at the camera and say, hey, I'm sorry. I messed it up. And until then, I was probably almost ended the total recovery. So there was almost 3 years later that I went through that process. That's one of the reasons I call people or try to get in touch with people that go through traumatic events. You know, like Keith Bostic from Green Bay. I had to reach out to him. I mean, that helped me to actually heal going through that process, you know, helping him. But almost 30 years it took for me to go through it. And I'll tell you, the thing that I didn't do well was actually really deal with it and actually forgive myself for making it. I mean, I looked at myself as someone that made the game. We won or lost the game based on how I played. I liked it that it was on my shoulders. I wanted that. And I just felt like I just messed it up for everybody. It was hard for me to let that go.
Well, we're happy for you that you have now, because obviously every game in America that's played, somebody makes a mistake. It had multiple mistakes. It happens all the time.
And everybody fumbles.
Right. Everybody fumbles. And, right. And you got punished more than most, and it hurt, obviously. You've shared that, and I feel happy for you that you've been able to come to grips with it. That's cool.
No question. And, you know, and I've been able to take it and use it with my nonprofit called the Healing Dogs, because we believe that, you know, love happens. Love comes from the inside. And we try to go about teaching that natural love, that agape love, and using the fumble, but also using the Super Bowl, because we have an opportunity to learn from each experience. One hurts, one you get joy. You get more joy from. But the reality is, learning happens on all occasions. That's why it's so important for guys to go back, watch the games, and also watch the mistakes, but also watch the good things that you do, but still learn each and every time you have the opportunity. That's the way we ought to look at our lives, and that's the things that I go about when I go about and I do speeches. And I do engagements, do things with the veterans. That real love, dealing with the positive and the negatives, and looking at them from a balanced perspective, is a way that we can grow, we can learn, we can teach, and we can also reach back and help somebody else.
I'm just wondering if you've dealt with anyone else who's been in that position. You mentioned Brandon Bostic, but there's been so many people in sports who have had these crushing moments. Is this part of what you do now? Do you reach out to these guys regularly, or do they know they can reach out to you, or was this just a one-off with Brandon?
Well, it's been other people that I've reached out to, it's just the process is anyway. Yes, there have been other people. I don't do it all the time, unless if I see somebody and I see their pain. Then if something tells me to reach out, then that's when I do. And, you know, that something is typically the spirit, you know, speaking to me and letting me know that, hey, then boom, this is the right time.
Ernest,
this is what this guy needs. So go ahead.
I'm sorry to cut you off, Ernest. It's great stuff and you're great inspiration,
okay.
No doubt. You know, I've been saying this week that I think this is the best time to be a Browns fan since the time you played. Obviously, you played on some excellent teams, and it's been, as you know as well as anybody, a long haul since you guys left, since Bernie left, you know, and it's been bad quarterbacks and bad teams, bad coaches and fired coaches. But I think we're finally seeing a turnaround. They'll probably fall short of the playoffs this year, maybe. Who knows? But I think we got a good decade plus of football coming for this team, and I'm guessing if the Browns can finally win that Super Bowl here with Baker Mayfield and these guys, one of the happiest people out there is going to be Ernest Biner.
Well, you know, I'll be in the parade, baby. I'll be there. So, absolutely. I mean, this is, and I'll say this quickly. I felt like the team was going to be 8-8 this year. I mean, they still got a chance. They went out to win eight games.
Yep.
I mean, the reality is they when you look at Dorsey and what he's done, I think Greg Williams, he could be the coach of the future. That relationship that Kitchen and Baker have. And if they keep winning, I mean, I think it's going to be hard to either, you know, to make a switch. Who, I mean, Marty Schottenheimer is kind of very similar setup to 1984, how Marty came in and changed the mentality on the team, and we won some games. It seems like the defense coordinator that is coming back again, and there might be the possibility Greg Williams can get this thing turned around with the assistance and guidance of John Dorsey.
Yeah, John Dorsey's done a great job. Two of the guys he's added this year, I know you've been tweeting a lot about these guys, Ernest, both yeah. Baker Mayfield and Nick Chubb, both seem like special talents, and they're only rookies. Give us some thoughts on Baker and his future and how good you think Nick Chubb is.
Baker and Nick are both winners. I mean, they have both overcome things to be who they are, and to continue their developmental process. I think both of them are leaders. They're both leaders by just naturally. I see Nick Chubb as a quiet strength in that huddle and on that team. I see Baker as he's more flamboyant. I mean, that energy around Baker is really strong. I mean, when I met both of those kids young men at the rookie dinner, yeah, when we were actually able to speak to them, those guys were locked in. Right. You got a guy named guy like Ward. You know, right. He's been getting nicked up, but I think he will grow through some of the situations that he's going through. I think God willing, health and health be all included, these guys have a chance to really make this team the right way. I mean, to build it the right way. I think they have done it, and they'll take ownership. And I think really, they're ready to take off.
Ernest, it was a pleasure to have you on, man. Glad you're doing so well. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, sounds good. Y'all have a great day.
You
Thank
too,
you, Ernest.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.